Listen up, my fellow coaches and leaders. The truth is, we all need a space to learn and grow so we can bust through our personal glass ceilings and step into our full potential, especially if we want to create the space to allow others to step into theirs. And that's where I come in. I'm not just a former clinical psychologist, but also a seasoned dream life and business coach with over 2 decades of experience helping people shatter their personal barriers and unleash their greatness. And here's the thing, you don't have to figure this all out on your own. As a heart-centered entrepreneur or industry leader, you deserve the best tools and strategies to help you and your business thrive. And that's why I'm excited to share my experience with you through the Coaching for Coaches podcast. Utilizing powerful combination of clinical skills, quantum physics, and strength-based coaching methods, I'll show you exactly what to do and exactly what to say to unleash your true potential and create a path for your clients to follow. And not just that, I'll also teach you how to build a thriving coaching business around your unique skill set and passions. So let's get started. It's time to answer your calling, make a lasting impact on the world, and create a lucrative living doing exactly what you love. Welcome to the Coaching for Coaches podcast, where greatness begins. Big, big welcome to Coaching for Coaches. My name is Denise Walsh, and today we are talking to a leading expert in the field of business psychology, growth hacking, and personal life mastery. With over 35 years of corporate and entrepreneurial success, her signature 1% method of micro progress has led to 9-figure success and supporting hundreds of thousands of small business startups. Ooh, can't wait to hear more about this. Whether she's on stage or online, she uses her unique warrior story of miraculous physical and financial breakthroughs to teach other business leaders how to turn setbacks into monumental comebacks. So big welcome to our guest, Stacey Wallace.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. It's
great. Yeah. I want to hear your story. Oh my goodness. I think that's the thing is people get into entrepreneurship and I work with new entrepreneurs and it can feel like, all right, within 3 months, I'm going to have an up and running program and me making millions of dollars. And we both know that the entrepreneurial journey takes a bit more time than that. But I know you also didn't start in the entrepreneurial world. You started in the corporate world. Is that right?
Well, I ended up in the corporate world. I started when I was 16. I was actually in Broadway musicals. I've been on stage most of my life, nominated for New Female Vocalist of the Year in country music when I was 18. Wow. So I started off as a hustler back then, going to calls and go-sees for all kinds of productions and shows. So I grew up with rejection. I grew up with a lot of no's, and you go through a ton of no's to get to a yes when you're in acting or any type of theater. But really, and I was a basketball player before that, and my basketball journey, I was skinny and scrawny and tiny. But I had a dream that I was going to be the first white girl on the Harlem Globetrotters. And so I ended up getting picked up for the Junior Olympic basketball team. I was a scrapper. But again, adversity was the anvil that God used to beat out my tenacity is sports and theater. And then, of course, at 18, I started selling water filters. And it was a network marketing company of water filters. Uh-huh. My dad encouraged me, baby, music's good, but it's not always going to be great because it's like feast or famine, kind of like real estate or insurance. And so he said, you need to have a side hustle. And this is back in 1988. So I'm 53 years old. So he was like, you need to have a side hustle. And he was selling water filters at the time. And he said, this would be something good for you to do because you're a good speaker and, you know, you can go talk to people. And so I had no desire whatsoever to sell water filters. And I told him it wasn't my thing. And I didn't need more money. And I was kind of a happy being, you know, at whatever gigs I could be at. I was singing for a 21-piece orchestra at the time as well. So I just wanted to be a singer. I just wanted to be on stage. And he paid me 25. So I know the question's probably, how did you get here? And it wasn't just that my mom and dad had a night of intimacy, but that is the real way that I got here. But I was actually paid $25 when I was 18 years old. to sit in front. Back in the day when they did network marketing, they had they did them in hotel rooms. And so I sat outside the hotel room in the lobby of the hotel, and I did the name tags for everybody that came into the room. And so he paid me $25 to do that. And a guy comes up to the table that was an insurance salesman, and he was about 45 years old. And I was just a young girl. And he comes up and he goes, "What is this?" Kind of grumpy. And I said, "Oh, hi. Well, this is a company that sells water filters. It's free if you want to attend." And he goes, "Okay, yeah, I don't have anything to do. I'm staying in the hotel." So he goes in. 45 minutes later, he comes out and he hits his finger on the table and he goes, "Where do I sign up?" And I was like, "Huh, I was born at night, but not last night." So I ran in and I said, "Dad, I need two applications. I'll sign up, but this guy's got to be on my team." So I signed the guy up and he ended up being kind of like a stalker, never did a single thing in the business, but he got me on the application. Mm-hmm. And from that point forward, that month, I made $8,976 because I talked to every single person that came within 3 feet of me. 18 years old, changed my life.
Amazing.
I knew I didn't want to go to college. I knew I didn't need a fancy pedigree in order to be able to be an entrepreneur. And it gave me the kickstart that I needed to realize that hard work, getting out of your comfort zone and connecting with people really could produce an epic journey. And obviously there were a lot of ups and downs in that journey, that to nine figures, but that's how it got started, is me just sitting in a, getting paid $25 to sit in front of a network marketing room.
I love that. I have 15 years of network marketing leadership. And I think that it can get a bad rap from people that don't understand it, but it is an amazing way to get started in entrepreneurship. Prior to that, I was a clinical psychologist. And so I was like bored, burnt out, but I wanted to work and help people. And network marketing was a great avenue for that. So I love that you got started in just a hotel room, like so many entrepreneurs at those opportunity meetings.
Uh-huh. You know, and so many back then, I didn't know it wasn't liked. You know, I was 18 years old. I didn't know that people were like, "I don't want to do that. And you got to talk to your family and friends." I just knew that I didn't have any money to start a business. And I think it was like at that time, I think it was like $250 to get started. And I knew I could find $250, but then it was, now remember this, water filters. You either had to buy a package of $5,000 worth of water filters or $25,000 worth of water filters. I was 18. I didn't have $5,000 or $25,000, but I had the money to get started. And I said to my mom and dad, and my mom and dad had financial struggles as well. My dad was in the ministry, and I come from a ministry background and missionaries and that. So money, I didn't have a pedigree. I didn't go to college and I didn't have money, but I knew that if I could get a few people to believe in me, that I could turn their dollars, I could turn it around and make more money for them. And so I borrowed enough money to do the $5,000 worth of water filters is like a garage filled with water filters. And so but they don't do that anymore because I think the organizations now don't allow that. But I knew I have to get rid of these $5,000 worth of water filters to pay these people back. And in doing that, it birthed an entrepreneur. It birthed a vision in me. And so I ended up becoming the youngest national marketing director of that company by the time I was 21. So in 3 years, I scaled the entire compensation plan. That company now doesn't just sell water filters, it sells Juice Plus, and it was NSA was the company. And so I was part of the PAC-10 President's Advisory Council. I got to be able to know the industry early in what a lot of people don't know about network marketing. Now, I've been out of network marketing for many, many years, but it allowed me to cut my teeth. Mm-hmm. And I say to people, don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise companies that give you a shot, that give you an opportunity to get started where you can. Some companies, it's like it's free to get started, but your hustle is going to have to pay for what would maybe for me have been $5,000 of water filters. You're going to have to hustle harder. So anyhow, it changed my life. I've scaled 5 comp plans in major companies, helped companies go to a $1 billion market cap, scale really big in network marketing. And then we moved out of network marketing into corporate America because I had so much success in sales that I started really have an opportunity to write my ticket anywhere I wanted to go. And so that was my husband and I. We've been in a number of companies. He's a COO of major corporations. One company, him and my brother took to a $1.2 billion market cap with obviously a massive team of people. But and then companies that we've started from scratch to $350 million in 3 years. So we've had some tremendous success, but that's not the story to look at. The story to look at is, like you just did back in the beginning, where did you get started? I started with a dream. I started with an idea, and my dad was smart enough to teach me the 1% method, which changed everything.
So I think you're right. People see the stage, they see the success, they see the shiny objects, right? But they don't see the grit, the journey, the decisions, the insecurity. Right. I mean, entrepreneurship is a roller coaster ride. You can have your best day and your worst day the same day. And so the goal is to learn how to ride the roller coaster without being caught up in it and keep your vision strong. So every day you're doing something consistently that takes you to the direction you want to go. So tell us, what is the 1% method and how does it help you in business?
Yeah, the 1% method is, it's a method of micro progress. So back when I was the skinniest, scrawniest, tiniest little basketball player, and I came to my mom and dad and said, I want to play basketball, like for real. My dad said, I'm never going to tell you that you can't do something. My dad was a man of faith. And he was like, anything is possible, but faith without works is dead. You're going to have to hustle. And you're so small, you're going to have to outwit, outplay, outpractice, and outlast all those bigger girls. I couldn't even get the ball up to the rim when I started. It was so hard. I had to do the granny shot between the legs and everybody would laugh at me. You know, I was just young, but eventually when everybody else would practice for an hour, I would practice for 2 hours because I had a dream. I was going to be the first white girl on the Harlem Globetrotters. And I was determined. So I knew I have to have really good ball handling skills. I have to have an amazing outside shot because all those Harlem Globetrotters had really crazy trick shots. And I also knew that if I was going to actually play basketball, I had to learn how to drive the lane with a fierce tenacity. And being tiny, you can break your bones really fast driving the lane because you're so small. So I had to, this was before WNBA. This was before I actually played the last year of what was actually 6-on-6 full court. I mean, half court basketball for women. And then the next year it went to full court where it was 5-on-5 like you see today. So I've been around for a while. But back then, it's the same story. You start where you feel like you're the least, you're the smallest, you're little David, all the big brothers, but God's called you to a Goliath. And the Goliath might be the dream and the vision that he's placed in your heart. And you don't have to figure out how to slay Goliath. You have to figure out how to show up. God's job is to slay Goliath. God's job is to actually take your faith and your works and make something of it. Your job is just to show up every day and do what you know to do. You know, David, and I've never told this story, interestingly enough, on a podcast before, but David, he practiced on the lion and the bear with that slingshot. When nobody was watching in the middle of the night, he was probably scared, probably 12 years old. But you know, what was his job? Just show up and protect the sheep. Just show up and do what you know to do. What he didn't know was that job was preparing him for the slingshot of his lifetime. That would forever go down in history. So you might be right now, like calling and getting rejected and no after no after no. And all that is you slaying the lion of fear, you slaying the bear of rejection, and you just keep practicing, because in due season, you'll reap. You'll be in front of the Goliath that God's going to say, okay, it's time for me to partner with your success. You know, I had for years, I knew in my mind what would break the code on network marketing and even on sales development. And so I really believed in this thing called webinars. And this is when nobody was doing them. Nobody knew how to do them. But I knew that with my Broadway, with my musical, with my background, I can get in front of a camera and I can speak to people and I can help people see what they can't see for themselves. And so I started doing webinars and no one was showing up. In fact, the webinars were spotty. Sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't work. All that whole system was being figured out, but I kept showing up. And my husband, we were just doing a big launch last week with thousands and thousands of people. And he told this story about me showing up with one person listening. And man, it can be demoralizing when you're supposed to be talking like there's 5,000 and it's the same person that's showing up. And it was my hairstylist. Like almost, I was almost paying her to be there. And she showed up and she would comment. Well, back in the day, you didn't see how many people were on and you didn't see who was on. It wasn't like Zoom. So I talked like there were 5,000 people watching. I gave it 110%. And I did that year after year, not week after week, not month after month, year after year after year. Fast forward 5 years. And Guinness Book of World Records was coming to our office because we were hosting the largest webinar in history. Wow. And it's the consistency and the tenacity when nobody believes in you, when you quite frankly don't even believe in yourself. I'd get off and I would, you know, put on a great, I'm 100% and we're going for it. And then I'd get off and I'd cry being like, am I doing the wrong thing? Should I be doing something else? It was the lion and the bear. God was just practicing for what I do today. I run a very high ticket coaching program that starts at $23,000 and goes up. I have to be excellent at what I do. I can't be a generalist. I can't be using and a lack of very strong business acumen. I've got to be able to communicate effectively, look in the green dot with consistency. All of those years prepared me so that today I could work with 7, 8, 9-figure leaders with a certainty that outweighs uncertainty. So no matter where somebody is at and just getting started, slay the lion, slay the bear, get ready, get ready, get ready. Your Goliath is on the way.
Hmm. And so that micro progress is truly—
I didn't even answer your question.
Daily.
I didn't even answer your question. 1% method is simple. Is my dad back in the day, he taught me, Stacy, if they work for an hour, you work for 2 hours on shooting the ball. 1% get 1% better every day. You don't have to be a Harlem Globetrotter overnight. You don't have to play for the Olympics overnight. But today, be better than you were yesterday. If yesterday you could put 2 free throws in the hole in a row, today shoot until you can do 3. And I would stay outside when all the other kids were playing and having a good time. I was still working on getting 3 in a row. And then I would go for 4 in a row till I could do 25 free throws in a row, 1% micro progress every day. 1%, my TEDx is on the 1% method. So if somebody wants to see the full teaching, they can go to TEDx and just look up Stacy Wallace 1% method. But even in love, in life, in marriage, 1% micro progress could be today, just say, I love you one more time than you did yesterday. Maybe in weight loss or fitness, because we talk about the big F words, faith, family, finance, fitness, focus, freedom, and fun. In the area of fitness, maybe your 1% is don't watch American Idol tonight, go for a walk. 1%, just something better than you did yesterday. Financially, it might be that instead of buying that $5 coffee today, take that $5 and put it in a jar, 1%. Little micro moves, because what happens with a penny doubled over the course of the month, it seems so small, but through geometric progression, in 30 days, a penny doubled every single day is over $5 million. And that's what happens with compounded effort in technology development. And we've built a number of technology companies. Compounded effort or level of effort is a really big thing when it comes to scaling technology. Well, if you take it back to people who are starting their entrepreneurial endeavor, you think, well, man, I've got to figure out how I'm going to have 5,000 people in my Facebook group. No, you need one more person today than yesterday because one is better than zero. And if you can have in your mind, one is better than zero every day. One walk, 1 5-minute walk is better than a zero walk. 1 10-minute walk is better than a 5-minute walk. So that 1% method of micro progress every single day, have a list of those, maybe it's the 7 F words, and ask yourself at the end of the day before you go to bed, what did I do to improve in my faith by 1%? Could be one scripture. You know, it might just be the scripture, Jesus wept. And you might be like, I'm just going to meditate on those 2 words, Jesus wept, and just let it sink in, 1%. You don't have to read the whole Bible. You don't have to know all of the doctrines of whatever your faith is. Just 1% every single day, and your life will be completely different in 12 months.
What's fascinating is that oftentimes when people start a goal or they have a dream, right, it feels so big. And that staircase feels like, I don't even know where to start. And like, in fact, my next book is going to be called Steps in the Dark, because sometimes that's what it feels like. You're like, I don't really know if this is going to work or where I'm going. Yeah. But the idea here is that you don't need to know all of that stuff. You need to know what you're doing today that's going to move the needle in your life and in your business. And when you do that consistently enough, that's when the compound effect starts kicking in, and 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 anymore. And you start to create that momentum.
Right. Well, you move into multiplication. Yeah. At the beginning, it feels like division.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, oh my goodness. And we talk about, especially in network marketing, and it doesn't have to be network marketing. It could be insurance. It can be real estate, anything that is a solopreneur endeavor that you start. And at the beginning, you are the business. Like you're the marketing department, you're the operations department, you're the one doing all the social posting, you're doing everything. But eventually, if you learn to build infrastructure, and this is where our background in corporate America really helps, is there is a different way of thinking in the entrepreneurial world than there is for corporate America, where you're hiring, you're scaling, you might have private investors, angel investors, maybe you have big venture capitalists. Your thinking has to expand because now you're responsible for other people's money. It's easy to be an entrepreneur and not make money. That's called a hobby, by the way. But in business, you have to be working towards your investors' dollars to make sure you're getting ROI on every piece of investment. And so when we teach entrepreneurs how to think that way, it opens up the floodgate to go, wait a minute, this is not just me calling my friends and my cousins and who else needs to buy a house. I really need to sit down and identify who are the leaders that the first thing I do when I work with somebody, whether it's in coaching, whether it's in network marketing, anything, is I say, where do you want to be in 10 years? We call this our legacy roadmap. And in 10 years, that's too far out for you to really do anything about it, except set a North Star. So if your North Star is, I want to reflect God in everything that I do, but I want to accomplish having 5 orphanages and I want my company to be doing 7-8 figures, and you've got this ideal world that's 10 years off, that becomes your bullseye. And now you know, I don't need to do everything and have shotgun mentality. I need to get rifle focused on what is going to get me there. So that means I've got to take that 10-year plan and reverse engineer it down to a 3-year plan, and then reverse engineer it some more into a 1-year plan, and then reverse it down even more into quarterly objectives, and then reverse it down into weekly sprints or KPIs, key performance indicators. Now we can track progress because now we know what 1% should look like. Mm-hmm. What should I be doing today? Because it's so easy to get caught up with shiny object syndrome. You know, the kids come in, it's called quadrant 2 in our time blocking series. Quadrant 2 is when other people steal your time. Kids come in, mommy, I've got to have my food. Mommy, or mom, I've got a science project. Or maybe it's the boss. Hey, I need you to get on this right now. And that's time stolen. But to really be on point is to get into quadrant 4, which is the peace zone. When you are doing 1% every single day on your calendar, time blocking, towards that 10-year objective. And there's always a way to take a big audacious goal, any goal, even paying off $250,000 worth of debt, if you're willing to reverse engineer it. And we've helped, I'm thinking of a couple right now, they just paid off $200,000 in their 12 years of our mastery course, $200,000 worth of debt. Wow. And now they have financial freedom versus, well, someday I'm going to do it. Someday I'm going to work on that. And that is the micro progress of the 1% method.
Mm. And I think that what that does is, number one, your whole statement there about the 10 years and then reverse engineering gives people a vision for where they're going, but then also a daily game plan for how to get there. And both are so important because I know people with great vision and low work ethic because they don't really know how to get there. And then I have people with great work ethic, but they don't really know where they're going. So having vision and daily discipline truly is like that sweet sauce that will take you where you want to go.
There are so many people. And that is like, Denise, that is so powerful what you just said. I think everybody should, if you're listening to this on replay as a podcast, rewind what she just said, because it's brilliant. So many people have dreams. I traveled for 12 years with Zig Ziglar, and we did all these big stages and all around. But he said something that stuck with me forever, is the wealthiest institution on earth is not the banking institutions that you would think hold the reserves of money. It's actually the graveyard of dreams unfulfilled. Of all the dreams that people died with the dream, because that's all they got to was the dream state. And I'm a little bit of my personality profile. I'm a Enneagram 8 wing 7. We do it like this. I'm a shark dolphin. And so the shark in me is I attack. I go for things. If I see an objective, I reach for it. I'm aggressive in it. But I like to have fun. That's the dolphin side of me. I like it to be colorful and pretty. And so in that, oftentimes, I will say to our team who, or even our clients who have big dreams, you don't sign up for a big high ticket coaching program because you don't have a dream. It's because you have a dream and you don't know how to get there. You've tried it your way. You've tried all the free programs. And now you're going, okay, I want to get there. And here's a statement that can change someone's life. Dreams are cheap. Execution is essential. Faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. God could have given Solomon the architectural plans of the temple. That would have been the dream. But it took Solomon putting together the team, the builders, the gold, everything that it took to build Solomon's temple. You can go through every great accomplishment in history. It started with a dream, but most people, that's as far as they get. A dream without a plan of execution is nothing but wishful thinking. And so I know that's what your passion is, and that's what your heart is, even with this podcast, is to help people. Number one, some people have forgotten how to dream, because they've just been stepped on and their dreams have been stepped on for so long that they've gone fetal. We do something called the chart of transcendence, and they're down in the gray or the black zone of worry and disbelief and depression and anxiety. And I feel like a failure. And that's the base level of our emotions. But what you're doing and other leaders that have these incredible podcasts is they're basically raising up warriors. They're calling the phoenix out of the ashes and saying, rise up. There's more. Maybe you had a great dream, but maybe you didn't have the scaffolding or the team to execute. Right. And to have the right infrastructure around you to execute on the dream, that's the difference between the hobbyists who are losing money in their entrepreneurial endeavor and the business activists who have learned how to put faith and works together.
The 1% method reminds me too of learning a new skill. And I think sometimes, you know, when I wanted to start a podcast, I thought about it for 3 years. And then my friend started a podcast. And guess what? I got mad at her because I wanted to start a podcast, but yeah. I wasn't doing it. And so finally I was like, well, nobody's going to do it for me. My husband, who's the tech guy, like clearly it's not his dream. This is my dream. And so I had to Google, how do you start a podcast? How do you upload a podcast? What mic do you get? And I realized, of course, through lots of other things too, but like everything's a skill and you just got to learn it. And so sometimes we can have the stream and go, I don't know how. Well, good. There's a thing called Google and YouTube and coaches like you who can help pave the way to actually give us that next step, or somebody we can model after or learn the skills from. And so people will tell me, or like I'll have an upset in their business and they'll say, well, I guess this is a sign that I shouldn't do it.
All right.
And I'm like, oh dear goodness, because no, it's a part of the game. It's a part of the process. And there's a lot of things to learn. And the good thing is the humans are malleable and we can learn it.
So, so good. It reminds me of a story of so we have a nonprofit organization that now at this stage of our life, because we've done really well in 2017, we were at the highest income earning of our lives. And I woke up and felt like I had a dream. And in this dream, I felt like God was telling me to walk away and give all our money away to the poor. And it was such a bizarre dream. I got up, it was a song that was going through my heart. And I thought, maybe I'm writing another album. And I got up in my office. And the more I played this song, which was, will you say yes? Will you sacrifice your life? It was incredible words. I realized, I don't think I'm writing a song. I think God's asking us to make a major, major shift of sacrifice. we were traveling all over the world and doing safaris and, you know, all the selfies of, you know, God's blessing me so much. And really all we were doing is like narcissists saying, you know, you want what we've got, and not thinking about really what is that doing when you're bragging about your life, trying to sell your life to other people. Somebody's crying, somebody's hurting. And so that day when my husband woke up, I told him, I said, I think I'm supposed to step down from my position. I think I'm supposed to step down from my corporate role. And I believe that I'm supposed to just start feeding the poor. I feel like I'm God's asking me, will I give up my title? Will I give up all these things I've worked so hard for? And so I did that month. I walked away. That meant he had to take all of my calls. That meant that I had to push all my responsibilities back on other people. And 1 month later, he comes to me and says, I had a dream. And he wasn't one to ever have colorful dreams. And he said, but I think God's asking me to do the same. I think he wants us both all in, and he wants us to give everything away. And the only example we had of that, Denise, was the rich young ruler. There's a scripture that talks about the rich young ruler, Jesus saying, go give all your money to the poor. And he went away sad. So we don't even have the context of somebody who's done that. But we just knew that we've done a lot in our lives. We would rather be obedient than to try to do things our own way. And I knew a lot of people who had lost everything or had gone through devastation, but nobody who just in the middle of success said, let's just walk away and give everything away till we have nothing. My kids were like 17 and 18 years old, 16 and 17 years old. A major important time to have money is when your kids are teenagers. And they would come, Mom, I've got to go to this. And I'd be like, then you need to get a job because we don't have it. We went from flipping the credit card to them for anything to having to say to them, if God wants you to do that, we're going to have to pray that through because we don't have them. We were selling we had our house up for sale, trying to sell that for 18 months. Everything else, we were selling our lights. We were selling pictures just to stay afloat. And miraculous things would happen every single month for our bills to get paid. We didn't tell anybody about it. People don't give money to rich people. But we would have money on our doorstep. We would have Visa sending us an announcement that they had paid us too much interest, or we had paid too much interest the few years before, and send us a wad of money. A crazy, crazy, crazy things happening. And that season, Denise, changed our life forever because we realized, and this is what got us to where we are today, is God didn't call us to raise up companies. He called us to raise up leaders. He gave us success in our first 48 years of our life, but he was going to give us significance by asking us to walk away and pour into other people. And that's when we started Fueled by Fire Coaching.
That's a beautiful story. And you're right, because when you pour into the people, everybody wins. As people get better, everybody wins. And companies will succeed because their people are not living in drama. You've given them vision. You've given them skills. You also talk about the sweet spot and how living in this or working in the sweet spot can really support somebody in their life and business. Can you describe that?
Yeah. So the sweet spot is about finding your strengths and your weaknesses. Back to when I was talking about Zig Ziglar, we have this nonprofit organization called M Women, and everything we do, we pour into M Women. Like, we are now a conduit of funds going to rescue women and girls who've been in trafficking, abuse, molestation. So we live our life now to really make a difference in the world. I was calling around to try to find tiny homes that we could get roof over heads, because there's just a massive need for beds for these girls that are coming out of trafficking and abuse and domestic violence and that. And so I called this company online, and I just Googled, because you were talking about Googling. And I thought, okay, well, where do you find these? Where can you find pre-made homes that aren't just mobile homes, but can you find, like, tiny homes was kind of a popular thing. And I called this company, and this sounded super, super young kid answers, very Southern. And we started talking, and I'm thinking, I'm talking to this guy about a tiny home. He's talking to me because he heard that I had been with, he was Googling me and heard that it was a good salesman, by the way. While he was on the phone with me, he was looking me up, found that I had been with Zig Ziglar. Well, he said, listen, we need you. And I said, well, what do you mean you need us? And he said, need me. And he said, I need a mentor like you in my life. He said, we raised up this company, took it to $6.9 million in 2020, and we're struggling. they were on the trajectory. They were already talking to bankruptcy lawyers. They were in a very, very dark season. The day that I called on that tiny home, they thought that they were going to have to shut their doors. And that day was a day for him that he didn't realize was about to change his life forever and mine. We ended up, now we're on our fourth tiny home with them for M Women. But more importantly is that day I began to speak into his life and I did the sweet spot audit on him and his team. Sweet spot audit is different than a SWOT analysis. A SWOT analysis, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, is done on a company. And so when we go into a company to see, okay, what is your company infrastructure? How does it look? Is it scalable? Is it sellable? Are you building in such a way that you're going to be able to have an exit strategy out of it? Is this legacy built so that you can step away from it? So that's a SWOT analysis. A sweet spot audit is on the CEO or the entrepreneur. And a sweet spot audit says, what are you personally? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? That's your kryptonite. It could be fear. It could be anxiety. Could be that you talk too much. Could be, there's a lot of things that could go in the weakness spot. Then the third thing is the E, energy production. Who produces and what produces energy in your personal life? Because as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, you will want to quit. You've got to surround yourself by scaffolding that produces energy. The second E is what demands energy of you. And if that happens to be your family or your staff, you can't leave your family. You can change your staff. You can't divorce your family. We do not recommend that. So if your family or your husband or your children are sucking the life out of you, they don't believe in you, then you've got to surround yourself quickly by scaffolding that produces energy. So because those two E's will either make you or break you. And then the final one is T. Are you good at time blocking and time expansion? Well, that day I shared that with this young guy named Colton Croft, and they didn't even have a CEO of their company. They were shotgun. They were just trying to keep up with how many people in COVID were trying to move out of big houses. And that day we signed them on as a platinum partner with us. And in 9 months, we took that company from going bankruptcy to over 8 figures. So doing $13 million. And that is an example of somebody, he's 21 years old, doesn't have a clue what they're doing. His brother was 23 years old, didn't have a clue what they were doing. They just needed to have the scaffolding around them in order to do their passion. They loved putting people under roofs. They loved helping people. They were good at building. It started because one of them just was making $250 a month and they just built a shed and the shed sold instantly. And so they built another shed and then those sheds became tiny homes. And so whatever your idea is, no matter how dark it may seem, get into your sweet spot. Identify what are your strengths? What do you love? What are your weaknesses? What's your kryptonite? Energy production, energy demand, and then make sure that you're reverse engineering the right goal into time blocking that makes you doing what matters most, not only to you, but to your family and hopefully to God as well.
What I love about that is when you are, as the CEO, are in the right seat and doing activities that are filling your cup, and then your employees are also in the right seat, it can become a well-oiled machine. But I have to tell you, we need to connect because I also have a nonprofit. It's called Stop Sis, Stop Suffering in Silence. And I work with trafficking and trauma survivors. And we do coaching with them. So they get my Dream Life coaching programs for free or at a discount with just, the funds that we raise through grants and stuff. And we host retreats with them. And it's pretty dang cool.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to connect. We have a 62-acre ranch that we've got transitional homes. We're really on the backside. We work with people that have detox centers and that have other steps in the process, but we're on the backside of reentry where we empower them to make 6 figures, have their car paid for, house paid for. Yeah. The tiny homes are, we have transitional living and then we have personal purchase homes because we really do believe people should at least own a home and a car. Everybody should be a lender and not a borrower, that if anything happens economically, at least you've got a roof over your head and a way for transportation. And that's not just people who are broken. That's everybody. And people will tell you it's dumb. You shouldn't have a house paid for. You should be leveraging money. we just believe in a scripture that says, be the lender and not the borrower. That way, if the world goes crazy, it doesn't matter who's president, at least you're taking care of your family. And there's a way to do that. We have something called the Smart Money Makeover in our program that shows people how in 7 years to be totally debt-free in 7 years or less. Some people do it in 2 years. Some people, it depends how much debt somebody has, but so I would love to get together with you and find out maybe our nonprofits can collaborate.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's why good people need to make money. So absolutely, we can take these skills and create these organizations that can give back in a way that I never could as a clinical psychologist. As a clinical psychologist, I was overworked, underpaid, burnt out, and I never could have had overflow to impact the world like we are now. So I love it. Another question, another acronym for you to explain to me is the BOOM acronym. So tell me, what does it mean to BOOM?
I had a lady yesterday on my social, on Facebook. She said, I've never seen somebody use so many acronyms. And the reason why I use acronyms is because it just sticks with you and you have an ability, even in our training, our onboarding of our company, I try to put as many things into acronyms, even our core values, things like that, just for memory. But BOOM is all about breaking out of mediocrity. Mm-hmm. And so really BOOM comes from, I've used it for years in training, but where it really took on significance was when the first new Wonder Woman movie came out. And I woke up that morning and people, if you follow me long enough, you know that God gives me some pretty amazing dreams to show me things that are to come. Showed me before 2020 happened that there was going to be something that would require us to get an RV, to pull out of all the school systems and all of that. So there's some pretty crazy things that happen with dreams. Well, this dream, I woke up and in the morning, it's usually like around 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the morning. And I saw this bleeping sign that said sonic boom, sonic boom. And I'm like, what does that mean? Right. So I got up and I went to my office and just kind of meditated and prayed. And I was like, sonic boom. I was thinking maybe God wants us to buy a Sonic franchise because I really like Sonic cherry limeades. And so I was thinking, well, that's probably not it. So I just started researching sonic boom. And as I did that, I began to realize all the way back, even to creation, that there were specific uses of the breaking of the sound barrier, something called the red carpet, when the veil was split, that there was this theory, or it was theory to me, there was this idea that there was a moment where heaven and earth collide. And what you can't do for yourself, God does for you or with you. And there's always that partnership that heaven and earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to have a great life, but you got to get to the precipice of the boom where you break out of mediocrity, where something happens. It's like the sonic, the breaking of the sound barrier. You know, it's the pressure that allows the boom to take place. Because if it wasn't for the built up pressure, when that plane breaks the sound barrier and goes, it's because of the pressure. So a lot of times, you said it a minute ago, a lot of times people get down and think, oh, well, maybe I'm not supposed to do this. I just quit. What they don't realize is if they kept pushing through the pressure, they would get the boom. They would break out of mediocrity. They would see something they've never seen before. And then they would begin to receive. If you want to get what you've never gotten, chances are you're going to have to do what you've never done. And boom means whether it's the mediocrity of just watching the news and thinking that the rhetoric that everybody's talking about on the screen is real, get out of that. Make your reality. Make it what you want to have a great day. Don't be watching what everybody else is doing. Boom, break out of depression. Stop scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Look what everybody else's life is. And start putting something into yourself, motivation, scripture, whatever your thing is that pumps you up. Because, you know, if I was on stage, I'd get everybody to say boom, right? I'm from South Oak Cliff in Texas. And so that's the hood and probably not the safest place to live. But for those of you that are listening to this, not on video, I'm a very white girl and I look like an old Barbie. And so an older Barbie. But I know how to fight. I'm a black belt in karate, basketball player. So when I say boom, I'm not like, oh, boom. I mean, I'm talking boom, like boom, like warrior boom, like blow it up, like you're a rapper, the inner rapper in you comes out, right? when you do that, you're triggering your physiology, your dopamine, your serotonin, your norepinephrine. You're changing the state, even of the chemical makeup, when you boom, when you take physical action. And so we encourage people to boom in every area. Again, you can watch the TEDx talk. I talk a little bit about that, and I am on stage on that one. So, but yeah, boom. And I just encourage everybody that's listening today, break out of mediocrity.
That's exactly it. And I often say people can stay in that place of mediocrity for decades because becomes their normal, right? And so
it's easier to stay there.
It is. And so when you rub up against that comfort zone and then you start feeling imposter syndrome or you start experiencing that fear, the more that you rub against your comfort zone, you know, that's just a part of the game. We don't need to take it seriously. We need to boom to break free of it and become and create a new normal for ourselves.
You remember the Wonder Woman movie when it was the sister of the mom and the sister was pushing on her and pushing on her and pushing on her and pushing on her. The mom was watching. And then Wonder Woman falls back. And in order to protect herself, the pressure that was coming against, she crosses her arms and it goes, boom. That's the boom. When the pressure, when it feels like the world is caving in on you, don't give up, don't let up, don't shut up until God takes you up. I have a saying that says, when you have a setback, don't take a step back, but get ready for your comeback. Because sometimes a setback is actually a setup for you to rethink, reboot, recalibrate, or even reinvent your life. One thing I know for sure, pressure is a perfect time to boom, break out of mediocrity.
So you have written a book that explains your processes, your mindsets that somebody could easily digest that gives them an insight into what you offer. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, this is my eighth book. It's Fueled by Fire. This one is with the publisher. I've done a lot of self-publishing in the past. This is with the publisher. And so if people want to get the introduction and the preface and the foreword and the first chapter, it is like that alone will change your life to boom. You can go to stacywallace.com and with Stacy with an I, and you can get that. But that book is, it's a game changer. That publishing company came to me because at the time that I wrote that book, I was 64% male followers because of my corporate experience and because of my little sharkness, right? And they asked me to write a book for women. And they said, we need you to write a book for women in the marketplace, entrepreneurs, but we want you to do it in such a way that doesn't deny your faith. And we want, because your faith is really what gives you the edge. It's your difference. You know, there's a lot of people who are out there talking about self-power, but you do lean on God a lot and God examples. And so I said, well, you know, I'm not really a chick's chick. I'm really like, I'm just a little rough around the edges and I live on a ranch and I have chickens and that's just, I'm not a soft, touchy feely girl. And they said, but you need those girls and they need you. And we need you to write this book. And so I agreed to do it. I didn't like the name on it either, Fueled by Fire, because there was a rock band that had the Facebook group and it was like a devil rock band. And I was like, so there were a lot of things of tension for me, even around getting that book out. But once we said yes, and we came into agreement, my husband and I were in agreement. We knew that we were supposed to trademark it. And we knew that God was probably going to turn it into something more than a book. So I said to the publisher, I'll give you guys the book rights, but I want to keep all the other rights for any kind of curriculum, anything else. I'm going to trademark it. So we had this agreement. So Fueled by Fire is a book that teaches women in the marketplace. Obviously, guys can read it because it's principles, but how to have courage, faith, and influence in the marketplace without denying your faith. And in that, we also created curriculums that eventually became the Fueled by Fire movement, which today is our coaching programs, our elite coaching programs, and everything that we do. So it is definitely worth the read to see how it all started. And that was just 2 years ago that I wrote that book. And I'm working on another one right now called Quantum Faith in the Marketplace, which talks about how to make big things happen in the marketplace.
I love it. I love it. You guys go to stacywallace.com and grab her free chapter because we want to soak in as much as we can, right? From Stacy. She's done it. She continues to do it over and over again, and she's oozing with wisdom. that we want to all absorb. So I know I'll be grabbing the free chapter and checking everything out. I've got two questions to end with, Stacey. The first one is, as an entrepreneur, you, like, as you said, like there's days where we could have, where we just want to crawl under our desk and be like, I mean, somebody asked me this recently. I was like, there's a lot of days where I say, I'm just going to be a mom.
Yeah.
And then I tried that during COVID and I'm like, laundry doesn't bring me joy. So
yeah,
I've got more to say than just that. But anyway, not that there's anything wrong with just being a mom. I love moms, but you know what I mean? Like when you feel the stirring, you feel that holy discontent. But needless to say, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. So I'd love to hear about a book or something you listen to or something that has really encouraged you on your entrepreneurial journey.
You know, one of my greatest mentors was Zig, and his books, all of them paved the way. I remember before Zig passed away, Zig Ziglar, anything Zig Ziglar, anything John Maxwell, all great leadership books. I'm a connoisseur of information. In fact, our staff is required every week to come to the table inside of our staff meetings with a new piece of personal growth and development that they have not only digested that week, but that they can share with our team so that we're constantly improving. My shirt, if y'all are listening, you won't see it, but it says 1% better every day. And it's just about constantly, you are the number one piece of real estate you will ever invest in. And I'm big in real estate investments and teaching people how to have investments that multiply, but nothing compares to the investment of you incorporated. And so for me, I would say anything Zig Ziglar, his See You at the Top, Over the Top. I am obviously great connoisseur of scripture and the word of God. I live everything and build every program that we do on the principles of scripture. I think they're the most tried, true. Right now we're reading a book on irrational hospitality that is all about serving our clients at the highest level. And what I would say to people is, if it's not one of my books, which obviously I would say, go get one of my 8 books, is find leaders. Ed Milet, another great resource. If you haven't read The Power of One More, another great book. Brendan Burchard, there are great leaders in the marketplace right now. You just got to find a leader that speaks your language. And somebody don't follow people that don't have what you want. So if they've got money, but they don't have a family, they're probably going to only show you how to chase money. So find leaders in your life that represent whatever those core values are that you live for, and then belly up to them. Honor the room that you would like to be in one day. And so the way you honor them, attend their free launches, we've got so many free downloads and that in our Facebook community. Get in the communities that can feed you, that will give to you free first. They should all give to you free first before they ask you for any money. But then if you can, align with them, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There will your skill set be also. And so for me, I would say definitely a Zig book, John Maxwell book. Something motivational. Awesome. The Bible's number one. I'm still going to do that. Bible number one.
And then my second question is, we know that energy, as you said, you incorporated, right, is truly where your where things flourish or overflow, and the ripple effect can be powerful. But that means that our energy is important, and we have to protect our energy and fill ourselves up. So what is one thing you do every day that you couldn't live without?
Oh my goodness. That's easy. Every day. And this is what my book Quantum Faith is about. It's about energy production and energy expansion and how that relates to everything God created on the planet, right down to the subatomic level of how things happen with your words. The words that you speak manifest things in this world. It's scientifically proven. Even if you don't believe in God, although God said it first, science just proves what God already wrote and already said. But in the morning, I wake up and before I open up my eyes, before I allow any kind of chemicals to really trigger in my body. So I lay there still. The minute I come out of REM and I'm starting to wake up, and we train this principle, is I just say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit, what would you have of me today?" And I wait I don't move. I don't open my eyes. I don't pull my phone. Because once you do that, automatically your chemicals in your body start triggering. I want to hear him before any of me gets in the way or any of the world gets away. And I wait. And this morning, every day it's beautiful. Sometimes he gives me ideas for business. Sometimes he tells me about a piece of property I should buy. Sometimes he puts a face before me. But good morning, Holy Spirit, what would you have of me today? And no matter what it is, I write it down. I obey. I'm going to do whatever he says. If he says, go to Walmart, aisle 13, pay for the groceries for somebody on aisle 13. I don't have to know what it's about. I just want to obey the one that put me on the planet so that I can make sure that I'm doing heaven on earth and not just Stacy on my daily activity. So that is my number one, have to do it. Everybody that knows me knows I do it. And I teach people, if you want to really have an alignment with something that's not of this world and have God in the corner of everything that you do, really overseeing everything that you do, just wake up and say, good morning, God, what would you have of me today? Amen. And then obey.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. You guys, check out stacywallace.com, grab her free chapter. And it sounds like she's got lots of stuff on her website that you can peruse through and see how aligning with her could support you and your business. So thank you so much, Stacy, for hanging out with us today.
Awesome. My honor. You're just amazing, Denise. I love what you're doing. And thank you for giving me an opportunity to share my stories with you.
Absolutely. All right, you guys, thanks for being here, and we'll see you next week.